we know that we still have time and space when it comes to football happening in the fall, whether you're a college football fan, NFL fan, or a high school football fan. But that doesn't mean there's not concern about what would happen if the season was maybe pushed back a little bit, whatever that is. Let's bring a friend of ours, Ian Fitzsimmons, that you know pretty well, Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner.
He joins us right now here on ESPN Radio. And, Commissioner, before we even get to ball, I can't imagine what this new world that we're living in, how it's treating a commissioner of a Power 5 conference. What is a day like for you in this new world we're living in?
Well, you're my fifth appointment so far today. All of them are on the telephone, obviously. I'm getting very acquainted with Microsoft Teams and with Zoom conferences and with all modalities of telephone conference. And you know, you work around the difficult parts. It's not the same as being in face to face with colleagues and associates, but you know, I have been accustomed for all these years to traveling about 125 nights a year. And this is the longest stretch that I've slept in my own bed in quite a long time. And, you know, it's just a little different conducting business in that way. But it's not impossible to keep moving things forward. And I guess the biggest thing that is difficult right now is all the uncertainty.
On March 26th, you said, Bob, that football needs to happen. What if it doesn't happen in 2020?
Well, I mean, the first thing we're going to do is try and be innovative to make sure that we can salvage a football season. And it's too early to start betting on whether we're going to have one or not. But it isn't too early to start game planning, and it isn't too early to start looking at options. And so, first of all, we're going to do whatever we can to salvage a season. That may be starting a couple weeks early if we get a break in the action here sometime soon. There's talk that we could see the decline come and then a rebound later in the fall during the traditional flu season, and you know, we could end up having a new cycle. So we'll look at starting early. We'll look at playing late. We'll look at playing part of the season in this fall and part of it in the spring. We'll do whatever we can, first of all, to salvage a football season. If we're not able to do that, then we have some very difficult decisions to make. Football on most campuses, especially the ones in the Big 12 Conference, are very heavily reliant on gate receipts and donations and media dollars, and it's constitutes about 80% of their budgets, as a rule of thumb. And so, doing without that kind of revenue, causes, athletics directors and conference commissioners to make very difficult choices. And so, we need to plan for those choices, but, it'll be a while before we're ready to implement.
What are some of the most difficult things that you face? For instance, what you just mentioned, I mean, 80% of revenue, what kind of trickle effect, a domino effect could that have on not just college football, but on collegiate athletics?
Well, you could see a lot of layoffs. You could see discontinued sports. You could see sports that were suspended for a year and not played. You know, I've heard more talk in the last 10 days about what will the new school year look like. Well, there are those who think it might be all conducted online. If you're doing online education, are you going to be playing live sports on your campuses? And you know, there's this is much larger than just an athletics issue. Higher education is going to be under great stress, and you know, when we went through the economic downturn in 2007, 2008, 2009, I was the director of athletics at Stanford University, and fortunately, even though the bottom fell out of our endowment, the university was able to do some bridge financing and help us to get through a difficult time. I think schools are going to be under enough economic stress as institutions that it's going to be very difficult for them to do any bridge financing on behalf of the athletics program. And, you know, some of our schools have what you'd normally refer to as very large reserves, $20, $30, $40 million in reserve. But when you think about the run rates of these big programs, that $40 million is maybe 2 or 3 months. It isn't a long time. And so when the cash flow begins to dry up, there are lots of difficult decisions that have to be made. And, you know, I'm certainly not forecasting those. As I say, I think it's early, but we need to be planning. We need to be thinking about what this means if we don't get back to any form of practice until the 1st of July. What does it mean if it goes all summer? What does it mean if it extends into the fall? You know, the uncertainty, I think, is what makes athletics people crazy, perhaps more than some others, because, you know, we're used to identifying an opponent and putting a game plan in place and then preparing around that game plan and executing the plan and then giving ourselves a good, hard evaluation and then refining our tactics and strategy. Well, you know, we're not really able to do any of that stuff because it's a moving target. We wish we knew a date that we just have to survive until then, and then we're going to start to see business as usual. And I think it's different in different parts of the country. I think it's the best scientists in the United States and in the world are not able to forecast just exactly how this is going to unwind itself, but indeed, we will get through it, and we will survive as a culture and as a society, and we'll survive as athletes and as coaches and as athletics programs as well. But between now and then, we all are forecasting some difficult times, and we have to do what we can to be prepared for those.
Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby joining Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and SiriusXM Channel 80. Bob, how necessary may it be for you, not just you as the Big 12 Commissioner, but me in college athletics, to come up with a new model once you're able to start a new normal?
Well, you know, this could be a time of some recentering. We've gotten to the point where, you know, we think it's vitally important that we are building new facilities and paying coaches higher amounts of money and doing things that are considered to be competitively wise. There may be some recentering, and we might find that some of the things that we thought were absolutely vital were not quite as important as we heretofore thought they were. I do think that it will be difficult for some institutions to retain the breadth of programming that they have, and certainly we have Title IX implications along with that, and so we need to look at it in equitable ways. But I don't think it's inconceivable that we will see a reduction in the number of sports programs, and that could lead to consideration of what it takes to be a Division I school. It's possible that instead of having 16 sports, we would drop down to 12 or something like that. And if you have a big football program, you're probably looking at having 4 men's sports and 8 women's sports or something like that. Federal law isn't. I haven't heard anybody say that we were going to get any sort of waivers from federal law, and it wouldn't be the right thing to do for young women athletes anyway. But if we get smaller, there'll be some opportunities lost, and I really worry about that. I came up as a college wrestler and have been close to that sport all my life, and during the 70s, a lot of wrestling programs went away, along with a lot of tennis and golf and swimming and track and field programs. And I think that could be one of the byproducts. I suppose it's possible that this could serve to keep compensation flattened out a little bit. It's been pretty abrupt. In 2000, there was one coach in the country making $1 million, and now you can't count all the people that are, and including coordinators and others. And I just think there may be a recentering that comes along with this. I don't know that I've seen it just yet, but you ask about it, and I would say I don't think it's inconceivable. But when I put on my Olympic Board of Directors hat, I served on the board for almost 10 years, and the thought of having college programs going away really does damage to our nation's Olympic efforts, because about 80% of our Summer Olympians came through college athletics programs. And so you know, there are lots of byproducts of discontinued sports and reduced financial support for sports. So there are things that are certainly distasteful that could be byproducts of an extended period of limited resources.
As we turn to you, Liz, Commissioner, and Bob Bowlesby, Commissioner of the Big 12, here with Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio. We appreciate your time this evening. Is there a firm date that you and the other Power Fives or whomever may have gotten together and said, all right, look, if we can't start ball here, then we have to go to option B or option C?
No, we really haven't done that yet, although all of us are game planning individually and with our staffs and game planning collectively as well. We have about an hour conference call every day, and we have since the Thursday of our basketball tournaments. And so we're in constant communication. We've collaborated on, things like the look-in dates at the end of May, what we're going to do with nutritional supplements, what you can do with virtual workouts, what you can do with provision of equipment and things to student athletes. So, you know, we as much as we work hard to beat each other's brains in when we're competing against one another, we like and respect and work together well. And so I'm grateful for my A5 colleagues particularly, we've made I think some good decisions, and we'll continue to collaborate. But it's clearly in the game planning stage right now. I don't think we're at the point where we can begin to think about what that date is, because there are just too many moving parts. And frankly, it isn't going to be a bunch of athletic administrators that decide when it's safe to go back and begin having close contact in highly physical contact sports. Medical professionals appropriately will tell us when it's safe to do that, and we need to listen and not make any attempts to do it prior to that time.
Bob, 30 seconds left. How much have, among these discussions, have been talked about games with no fans if and when football starts in 2020?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because it's not just the consideration of fans in the stands. I mean, it's hard to see them sitting 6 feet apart from each other if we are still in a social distancing environment. But, you know, I think the bigger question is, will people reconsider how they go into public assembly facilities? Will they be comfortable sitting for 4 hours in a football stadium, cheek to jowl with somebody they don't know? And if one person in the section sneezes, are they all going to head for the hills? This is going to be this is going to create some different habits than we've had before, and so it'll be interesting to see if America's public assembly patterns of the past continue in the future.
Commissioner, always enjoy the visits during games on the sidelines. I hope to see you on a sideline very, very soon.
I hope so too, Ian, and thanks to you and Freddie for having me on.